We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Painter Siona Benjamin grew up in Bombay, India, in a community of Jews that had been in India for thousands of years. Since then, she's lived in the United States for over 30 years and has spent time in Israel. Home and identity have become central themes of her work.
Her vibrant paintings fuse Indian mythology, biblical stories, pop culture, current events, and Near Eastern, South Asian, and other influences. She brings a feminist and modern perspective to traditional stories and has received two Fulbright scholarships in the past decade.
Benjamin's currently based near New York City, but she'll speak in Milwaukee tonight at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Lake Effect Mayan Silver reached her ahead of that talk to learn more about her unique upbringing.
When I look back and when I think back to my childhood, it was extremely unique. I didn't think much about it then because I was, in the middle of it, and I didn't think it to be anything, actually. But now, many years later, when I came to live in the United States, I've been here for 30 years. And, it has made such an effect on my life. India is very unique that way. It has many different communities. And here I was, a Jew, raised in a Hindu-Muslim India. I went to Catholic middle school and Zoroastrian or Parsi high school. And India has many different religions like that. And it is a very tolerant country. It's a very accepting country. And it prides itself in its diversity. It's one of the oldest countries in the world that has that much amount of diversity and acceptance. And Jews never suffered any anti-Semitism. That's the only country in the world where Jews have never suffered any anti-Semitism. Well, a little bit here and there in the hands of Portuguese when they came in, overall, India itself prides itself in its diversity.
Well, and you said in the documentary, you said you were not Indian enough for the Indians and not Jewish enough for the European Jews, because you've moved from India to the United States and you've lived in Israel. Can you tell me why you didn't? I mean, we've talked a little bit about your feelings in India. Why didn't you feel Jewish enough for the European Jews?
There's a uniqueness about, oh, you're a Jew from India, and how is that possible? People are less aware of Jews being in other parts of the world other than, Jews coming from the Holocaust or Jews coming from Europe, especially. So because of that uniqueness, there's always either a sense of surprise or sometimes even disbelief, how come there are Jews all the way over there? And I said, well, that's where it kind of all started. And so I have to remind them about it. And then they're like, oh, yes, of course. They kind of remember that, people have to be sort of reminded about that.
So it's you wrote in one of your pieces that you don't get Yiddish jokes and you've been living in the U.S. for a while. So I was wondering if you picked up on any Yiddish at this point.
Of course I have. I definitely have. I use words like schlep and, all these kinds of Yiddish words I didn't even know were Yiddish, And I was told, that's what it is. It was just a joke in the painting. Like, people would ask me, you didn't grow up with matzo ball soup? And I'm like, no, not really. I grew up with Indian Jewish coconut curries.
Nice.
And they said, "Well, that's so strange. You didn't grow up with." But I said, "What's regular for you is not regular for people coming from other parts of the world." And I really, really believe that till we as a human race understand that, there will be misunderstandings and intolerance and racism and wars, because you have to understand that difference that we share, and instead of finding it weird and strange, one should celebrate it.
Yeah.
Till we understand that really well, there will always be these problems that we are facing right now, I feel. And so part of my work is kind of about addressing these issues and not shaking my finger and scolding people about it, but just with humor pointing it out and letting them laugh with me about it instead of, being upset with them. Because I think there is misconceptions everywhere in the world. Like, I could go to India and they would have misconceptions about Americans that would, annoy me. So it's not just one kind of person what I'm trying to talk to. It's just all of us. We have to understand and celebrate these differences better.
there's kind of this feeling in your work of trying to encompass kind of all humanity into the subjects at one time. Why is it important for you to fuse imagery from different religious and cultural traditions?
As a contemporary artist, I'm influenced by the different art and mythological traditions that I have lived in and I have studied. But I'm not painting any one god. I'm not painting any idol. I just paint figurative art, and it happens to be telling the story. But I do take references of certain mythologies that I have lived in or I have studied.
Well, one of the things in your painting is that you have women with blue skin. And can you tell me how that represents being a Jewish woman of color?
Sure. Well, when I was doing my, you know, started creating these works in the mid-90s, I started making works which is more nostalgic, you know, about who I am, like questioning my identity, you know, who I am as an Indian Jew, you know, what is my place in society and in America now. I started asking all these questions to myself, and I started making this series of works called Finding Home. And when I started making the characters, like the characters in a play, so to speak, who are acting, dancing out parts of this story that I want to enact, I started thinking, okay, what shade of brown should I paint these characters, you know, which would be appropriate? And so I came up to the conclusion that you know, none of the browns or skin color would be sufficient. So I said, I thought about the blue color of the sky and the ocean and how that stretches all over the world. And it makes it sort of boundaryless. It makes it, you know, that I can belong everywhere and nowhere at the same time. At the same time, you know, I come from India and I was influenced by, you know, the Indian mythology, Hindu, Muslim, whatever it is. And, you know, some of the Indian gods are painted a dark blue or a purple. Krishna was a very dark-skinned god, and so he was almost like a purple blue. So, you know, there's these influences of the mythology of generally India too, but my blue is this light sky blue. And so I feel like I can belong everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Well, and you did a photography project with subjects from the people in the community that you grew up in Mumbai. And I wanted to ask you about one of the men that was one of the subjects. He was actually blind, and he was able to translate Hebrew into Marathi, which is the dialect that is spoken there, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about him and how you conceptualized that piece?
Sure. So I got my first Fulbright is when I went to India, and I photographed and videoed all these amazing, some of the 70 or so people of the remaining 4,000 Jews there for the few months that I was there for my Fulbright. And Samson was one of the people that I interviewed and photographed. You know, I wanted to go back and look at these faces in India. They're like maps to me. You know, I wanted to remind myself, what do these faces look like? How do they speak? I remember them from my childhood, but I wanted to go and have a record of them in some way. And when I took photographs of them, I'm not a photographer, so I thought, you know, either I paint him or paint all these characters over again on a canvas, or then I decided to use the photographs. But I did photo collages on the computer where I took the original photographs and I combined them in many different ways on the computer with the help of my computer assistant. And then I sent them off to be printed on large pieces of paper, of watercolor/photographic paper. And when they came back, then I painted on the surface on top of this photograph. So it's a 3 by 3 feet large piece of paper where this photo collage montage was printed. And then I painted with paints on top of that. I wanted to tell the story of about the person, but not the whole life story of the person. I wanted to tell certain aspects about that person whom I interviewed, certain highlights about who they were and what stood out for me about them in this piece. And I did a series of 40 photo collage paintings out of the 70 people that I had interviewed. And also there's a video collage that is available that you can see on the internet. But then this American filmmaker came and took me back to India And we met some of the people, the characters that I had interviewed, and he included them in the film to show the process of what I had done in this Fulbright.
And in that painting, you had some artistic choices of using large Marathi writing, but it was Hebrew words translation,
yeah.
And then it went down in size like a doctor's office.
Yeah, because this gentleman was blind, and he had turned blind over the years. But he, instead of like, he didn't, you know, waste his life, he decided to translate and transliterate, the Hebrew prayers for the community, for those people who couldn't speak Hebrew properly. Those who could, it's fine, but those who didn't, he transliterated the Hebrew words into Marathi so they could follow along and read it. And he published many books with the help of the Jewish Agency, you know, in Mumbai. And so he knew the prayers by heart, and so he could just dictate them. And it was very amazing to kind of meet him. I was kind of like, this was his work, and his life had changed because of his blindness, but he didn't let that come in the way. And I found that extremely amazing to meet this gentleman and his family.
You have an entire series that you, is it completed or is it still open, called Finding Home?
Well, Finding Home kind of will always continue, but it's sort of branched off. So imagine Finding Home as like the main tree trunk, and the branches are like Farishte, which are women in the Torah that I choose to explore. So I'm studying Midrash with a rabbi in New York City, on and off. I study with him and with Rabbi Burton Vysotsky at Jewish Theological Seminary. And if at all I have a project, I always consult with him. Or if I want to study Midrash or the myth, I use these mythologies as jumping boards to be able to kind of translate, into more current socio-political issues or what's happening today. So,
can you explain what a midrash is?
Yeah, a midrash is rabbinical interpretations of the Torah. So, through the ages, rabbis and scholars have taken text and have debated and translated the meanings of all of the stories and the mythologies. I'm doing a visual midrash where I'm taking some of these mythologies, but it's nothing religious about it. It just, for me, it is just a story. And that story gives me a jumping board to be able to talk about, to connect that story to today's socio-political situations or what's happening today. So I can feel my art is more relevant. I'm talking about things that are happening today to me and what's happening in the news, and be able to connect that. So the old and the new gets connected.
Well, speaking of the old and the new, you know, where you are today, what do you think of as home today?
After much searching and finding, calling my series of the original series of works Finding Home, which then became many other series, Improvisation and Farishte and all the other works and the installations I've done, I've come to a conclusion that initial searching for home is kind of like redundant, or it's not necessary, or it's not there. For me, I feel there is no real home in that way, because I asked, is India home? Is Israel home? Is America home? Well, they kind of all are, and none of them are. It's like, I feel I came to a conclusion that home is where I pitch my tent and what I make of it. And because I feel like we all have become world citizens more than ever. And this division nationalism of, making divisions I'm not saying that we should dissolve countries, but I'm just saying that there should be a better understanding, I feel, of we being world citizens, instead of, saying I am better than you, or I can't let you in, or, you're not welcome here, or whatever. I think it should be more of an understanding of world citizenry and globalization in that way. So I'm searching about that through my work. I'm trying to find answers for that. And I feel like it's a continuing journey, for me to be able to search for that fantasy home, which I realized later on is really not there.
Author and photographer Teju Cole, he's of Nigerian descent, but living in New York City, and he said that he's most at home wherever there's good Wi-Fi. or in a cosmopolitan setting, is what he said. Not to me, but in an interview that I heard.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like my home is in and near New York. I feel exactly what this author has said. I feel like I want to be in a cosmopolitan area. I want to be, I want to be inspired by good art, by good music, by accessibility to culture. Even when I travel all over the world, I always go to the museums or I go to listen to concerts because I feel it really inspires me and it puts me in a place where I can see the relevance of my work to what's happening also. So I really like to also be where there's good Wi-Fi.
Well, Siona Benjamin, thank you so much for speaking to us on Lake Effect.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Artist Siona Benjamin will speak tonight at the Milwaukee Art Museum. The talk is sponsored by UWM Stahl Center for Jewish Studies. There's more information about the talk and the screening of the documentary about Benjamin, Blue Like Me, at WUWM.com.